and Romans. It's taken over a year, but we're there. I trust the Lord would use those messages from His Word, and particularly this message today as we cap off this portion of His Word, seeking His blessing. There's an outline in the bulletin if you care to follow it there. The section we'll be looking at today is Romans chapter 16, verse 21 and following, found on page 1192 in the Red Pew Bibles. There are Red Pew Bibles available for any who wish. And what we discover here is a message about the divine establishment. That is, put in a sentence, that God is able to build a universal and stable church, a universal and stable establishment, if you will. And He's able to do this through making known the good news of Jesus Christ. God is able to build a church, a universal and stable church, and He does it through making known the good news of Jesus Christ, which is really a summary of many ways of what this book is talking about. God building His church through making known Jesus Christ in all His goodness. As we read this scripture, I'll ask you to stand at this time. We look at Romans chapter 16. I'll make just a couple comments here on these introductory verses that we're not really going to be looking at that much. But Paul has already sent his personal greetings to 27 individuals and four different groups of people. He's already sent his greetings to them from Paul personally. And now as we get to verse 21, Paul adds a sort of P.S. in this 16:21. A P.S. from eight other believers who are with him there probably in Corinth. And these eight believers with Paul also send their greetings. And that brings us to Romans 16:21 and following. Hear the word of God. For the apostle says, Timothy, that's the familiar Timothy that we know in Scripture, Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my relatives, or perhaps fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Paul apparently had a secretary at this point helping him write, which was not uncommon in that century. And so Paul, through Tertius, wrote down this letter, greeting the people in the Lord. The secretary sends his greeting. Then he says, Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Apparently Paul seems to have been staying with Gaius. Normally he would stay with Priscilla and Aquila. But as you know, they weren't with him when they were now in Rome. So he mentions Gaius, who sends his greetings. And then he says Erastus, verse 23, who is the city's director of public works, or treasurer perhaps, and our brother Quartus sends you their greetings. And so the eight people send their greetings, and now this summary statement or benediction, or really the message for this morning, verse 25, he says, Now to him, that is God, who is able to establish you by my gospel, and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed, it made known or talked about through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey Him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Here ends the reading of Scripture. Please be seated. When I think about living thousands of years on the downside of Eden, when I think about the ordinary 20th century person who lives so far from the Garden of Eden, as this ordinary person lives in this fallen world outside of Eden, I think of that ordinary person like you and me as a person who has been involved in an automobile accident. And person who has perhaps just rushed to shock trauma and we find that we're now in a terrible condition. We've been injured through this accident, rushed to the hospital, and there we are in this trauma unit suffering some severe injuries, and we are not going to be well off without some help. Have you ever, by the way, had a friend who's been in shock trauma or been in the hospital at all for some severe problem? And you call down the hospital, patient information, and you ask about their condition. Well, as you call there, you'll find that they have a listing of different ways they classify their patients. I called St. Agnes the other day and asked them how many categories they had. And depending on which secretary you talk to, you got a different answer. But the one I talked to he said about 7 conditions on a scale from not so good, or horrible, to satisfactory, or very good. But you could call down the hospital, and you may get a condition on a report, perhaps a report from this secretary. And she might tell you that this patient's critical, or serious, or in guarded condition. And so the hospital's hope and the patient's hope is that this person who's in critical condition might move on to become stable and even go beyond that to complete and full health. Well, we live, let me say, in a very unhealthy environment. We are in a very unstable, precarious position here in this 20th century, thousands of years in time outside of Eden. And the pressures today on your marriages, for instance, show how unstable this world is. The pressures on the marriages, as you know, result in over 50% of 20th century marriages ending in divorce. People who are once preciously in love and now are bitter enemies. Today, many of our young people have learning problems. They have behavioral problems, and a great number of parents and children have, as a last resort, turned to some type of psychiatric drugs to help stabilize their condition, things like Ritalin or lithium or whatever, because these parents and children need and want their lives to become stable. Or today, the pressures at work are it's overwhelming when you think about statistically how often people change jobs. One statistic says people change every 3, 4, or 5 years, depending on where you're studying or whatever. But people are looking for a more positive, more stable work situation in which they can operate day to day, 9 to 5. Yesterday I heard a report. I haven't verified it. I guess it's accurate. I'm not sure I have all the details. And it was Friday. Someone said that the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. is moving to Washington, D.C., West Virginia. Is that the report? The person told me that. And the reason is they can't find enough solid, stable help in Washington, D.C. People from a qualified, solid, secure background to give them the kind of administrative help that they need to carry on in the Department of Justice. And so they're going to West Virginia, to where they can get some people with a solid, stable background to fill these slots. And then there's that group of professing Christians who travel from one church to another, looking for that church situation which is solid and stable, which is going to help them have stability in their lives. And so they move from one place to another, and as they're apparently looking for some stability. Where are we going to find stability? Where are we going to find that place of solid rest that we need in a world which is so critical, so unstable? Well, the Scripture tells us that the answer is found in God, that your stability is found in God. That is, God is able to give you that firm anchor that you need here in this 20th century, thousands of years this side of Eden. Look at Romans 16, verse 21, where he says, I'm sorry, not 21, but 25. He says, "Now to him who is able Now to Him who is able. Now to God who is able. What is God able to do? Let me remind you that God is able to do whatever it is that needs to be done. Whatever it is, God is able to do it. And He can do even more than is necessary. And read Ephesians 5:3-20, a familiar passage, which says, He is able to do immeasurably more than all we might ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Can God help you make it through those special temptations that you experience? Can God help you make it through the suffering that touches your life? Listen to Hebrews 2. The Scripture says in Hebrews 2:18, because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. And so when we're under trial, temptation, suffering, God is able also to help us go through that situation, as He Himself did it, went through those trials when He was here on earth in the flesh. But what about our sense of guilt, our sense of unworthiness, where we've done something wrong that we know deep down inside that is extremely difficult to forgive our own selves? Because we know how far we've fallen short. Is God able to forgive us truly deep down where it counts in our everyday living? Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never turn him aside. Whoever comes to me, I'll never turn him aside. Christ said, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Yes, God is able to forgive you deep down inside, though you don't deserve it. As 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, no matter how horrible of a thing we might have done. God is able to forgive us thoroughly. So many of us are trying to live a godly life on our own. We're trying to remain upright on our own, to live a positive Christian life. But the problem is we're trying to do it in our own strength. Jude 24 says, now to Him who is able to keep you from falling. That is, God is able, and God is able to keep you from falling. You can't keep yourself from falling into sin, but God is able to keep you. And so many Christians, people, are not only simply trying to keep themselves from falling in sin rather than relying upon God's ability, but we're trying to keep ourselves saved, as if we can arrive at a point in our own life where we ourselves will be able to know that somehow we saved ourselves or we kept ourselves saved. People, we slip back into an old way of thinking that it's God's grace that brought us into forgiveness, and it's only God's grace that is able to keep us in a state of grace. Listen to Hebrews 9:27. It says, He is able to save forever those who come to the Father through Him. And so our strength and our hope and our ability to keep in the Christian life rests in God's ability alone. And He is able to save forever those of you who have come to the Father through Jesus Christ. He is able to keep you safe and secure regardless of what has happened in your life. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders work in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Jesus said it this way, without me you can do nothing. However, Paul adds, with Christ I can do all things. With Christ I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And so indeed God is able. After the after the fall from the Garden of Eden, we lost a great deal. We lost a great deal. Since Eden, something has been taken away from you and from me. And God wants to give it back. In a shaky world, an unstable world, where marriages are falling apart, where people are falling apart at their workplace, God wants to give us something back. And what He wants to give us back is stability. Though we're in a critical world, in critical condition, God wants to bring us to a point of stability. And He is able to do that in our lives. He is able to establish us and to make us steadfast in an unsteady world. Look at Romans 16 again, 25. Now to Him who is able to establish you. Now to Him who is able to establish you. And if you did a real brief study on that word, you'd find that word establish, sterizo, simply means, as it's translated elsewhere, strengthen you. God is able to strengthen you. He's able to make you steady. God is able to make you stable, is a good translation. He's able to firmly fix you, to make you immovable. It's the same word that's used in Luke 16, 26, when it talks about the rich man Lazarus. And it talks about heaven and Hades, or hell, where there's a gulf fixed permanently between heaven and Hades. Well, God is able to make you firmly fixed, immovable. Scripture says, to Him who is able to establish you. 1 Peter 5:10 uses the same word when he says, and the God of all grace, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong. And make you strong. Firm and steadfast. 1 Peter 5:10. Romans 1:11, Paul opened his passage, or this letter to the Romans, speaking of the same subject of wanting their stability. In Romans 1:11, he says, I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, to establish you. The same word and the same thought here. And so God's will, God's desire, is to stabilize you, to make you strong, to strengthen you in a culture which is very unstable. I want you for a moment just to think quietly in your mind about the people in your community, perhaps on your street or around your house. Try to think of a family that is truly stable. Next door neighbors, either side, across the street. A family that is stable. How many families are truly stable in our community? What about our relatives or in-laws? Think of your relatives real quick. Who comes to your mind that is stable? People who are solid and are growing, mature people with positive lifestyles. Or what about the people at your work or your school? Who is it that's a real positive asset to the school or the workplace? Who is that solid, mature person? You know, so many people, they go to work or they go to the school, and they, once the bell rings, if they go out to the school, or once the classwork starts, the only thing they're thinking about is when it's going to be over. Thank God it's Friday mentality. Now let me get there and punch that clock so I can get my time in and get my paycheck. And though many individuals and many families may be drifting apart and unstable, broken homes, that God is able to make you stable. He's able to make you a stable worker. He's able to make you a stable, solid, mature student. He's able to make your marriages solid. And that message here in this passage is for you. It's not just that He's able to establish someone in general, but look at it. Now to Him who is able to establish you. He's able to establish you. That's what Paul told the Romans. It was the Christians there. It was a hodgepodge of believers, as you know, from all walks of life, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, those who were educated and not so educated. God was able to establish them personally. Now to Him who is able to establish you. And God would say the same thing to us. We just have to read Scripture a little bit. And the analogy of Scripture will tell us that that same message of stability is offered to us. God is able to establish you personally in the 20th century in an unstable society. What God wanted for Rome, God also wants for you and I, you and me. Let me say, the Church of Rome was indeed a solid, well-established church. As most of you know, in Romans 15:14, where he says, "I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, mature in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another." So they were mature. They were fairly solid. But God reminded them, these Romans, here in this 16th chapter, that God was able to keep them established, to keep bringing them back to a point of stability, to keep not helping them grow and mature in their Christian life. Some of you guys are salesmen out there, I know. Maybe some women are salesmen. And there's all kinds of techniques for selling things. One way to sell something, or one good way, I believe, to sell something, is to have someone give a personal positive story, a success story, about their product. And what it does, it gives some credibility. When you hear that someone has taken the product personally, they've tried it, they've used it, and it works. And you hear it not just from the salesman, but you hear it from the customer, the consumer. Well, God has a product, and that product works. God is not only able to make a solid, mature group of believers like there were at Rome, but He's able to reproduce that time and time again all over the world. And that's what God is doing right now. He's building a church, not just a stable church, but a universal church that is stable, solid in Jesus Christ. God is building a universal, worldwide church, a kingdom of people who are coming to trust in Him and follow Him. Look at verse 26, where He says the words, "so that all nations might believe and obey Him." Read the whole verses 25 and 6. He says, "Now to Him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings, by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey Him." God's plan, that is, God's desire, is to establish a people all over the world. Some of you men I know out there, many of you are about my age. And I can see that you have a receding hairline. And as you get to be around my age, late 30s, early 40s, some of us occasionally get to be a little bit nervous as we see those hairs falling out every time we wash our hair. Maybe see some in the drain lane or in the sink every time you comb it. And you start to be concerned. And then one night you hear somebody on TV advertising some medication or some drug that promises to stop, to stabilize hair loss. And so it kind of gets your attention. So you watch it a little while and you say, "Ah, this stuff's not going to work." And then they bring on a personal testimony, somebody who actually worked upon it. Say, "Well, maybe there is something to it. Perhaps there is." And you hear their 90-day guarantee or money-back guarantee. And then you may or you may not send your money in, depending on how firm a believer you are. And the next day, as you're walking around, you think, "Do I really know anybody else who's used this stuff and their hair came back?" And you think, "Well, no, there's nobody in the church. There's nobody on my street who's used this hair and stopped their hair from falling out and made the new hair grow. Nobody at work uses the stuff that makes their hair come back or stabilizes the fallout." Well, what if you all of a sudden started finding two or three pews of people whose hair were coming back? Maybe you went down the street, you know, you saw your neighbors. There they were, you know. Two out of three people, maybe. Fine. You know, they use the stuff that really works. And then maybe you travel to the next state and it worked there. And the people, you find thousands and thousands of people that their hair was no longer falling out because of they were taking this stuff. In fact, they were growing new hair. Then you might think that there is some credibility, that it might really be true. You might become a believer. Well, let me say, in the same way, God is bringing thousands upon thousands of people to believe and to obey Him. Look at the verse 26 again. His plan is that all nations might believe and obey Him. That doesn't mean everyone, but people from all nations are included in God's plan. God is building a universal church, a church of people by God's grace who will come to embrace Jesus Christ and come to find stability in Him. A universal church that God is able to build. That should tell us something about God's ability. Look at Revelation 7:9. He says, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne. When we get to heaven, we're going to find how able God is. When we see people from all over the world, from every nation, standing before the throne with new hair. God is building a universal church. I was in Hagerstown yet Friday, and I went up there for some church business. And I was about to return home, and I noticed my gas tank, the needle, was just down to about empty. And I thought, I better get some gas. So I pulled in the gas station, reached in for some money, and I didn't have any money. So I thought, I just use my old faithful credit card. And I looked through the credit card, my stack of cards and stuff. No credit card. I did it two or three times. No credit card. It was gone. I don't know what. I didn't have it with me. So I remembered I had a personal check. Well, I couldn't get anybody to cash it. So there I was, sitting on empty. Nothing but a personal check. So how am I going to get out of this one? Because I was afraid to move the car because it was that low. I pulled it into a gas station. And so I immediately thought, hey, I know some Christians up here. So I got on the phone. 2 seconds, called someone. And they, just a matter of minutes, another PCA minister friend of mine was there. Filled up my tank on his credit card. I wrote him my check. But it dawned on me that if this happened anywhere in the United States, I think I'd be all right. As small as the Presbyterian Church in America is, I think it's, 1,000 churches or something, they're scattered enough that I think that if I was really in need, I could probably travel throughout the United States, get people to fill up my tank, give me something to eat, and give me a nice place to stay. In fact, we have missionaries in, I think, 400 countries or something like that. You could probably be a world traveler here. And the reason is that God is building a universal church. That's what He's able to do, and that's what He's doing. Break down in Hagerstown sometime and find out. How is God able to build His church? Bring us to the last point, and to me, in many ways, an extremely important point. The point that I would want you to remember the most, if you remember nothing else. How is God building a worldwide universal church? And how is God able to make that church a stable church like the one at Rome? We find in verse 26 or 5 and 6 that God is able to build up His church through making known the good news of Jesus Christ. God is able to build up His universal church through making known the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 25 and 26 again. Now to Him who is able to establish you how? By my gospel. By the good news that the Apostle Paul was preaching. And he says, and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. That really was the heart of the good news. The proclaiming, the announcing of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, according to the revelation of the mystery, hidden from long ages past. What he's saying there is according to what happened when Christ became incarnate, walked this earth. People didn't know about this in the past except in glimpses of Scripture, and they looked forward to it. But now this mystery of Christ, which was hidden, this has now been revealed. God has come to the earth. He's come with a message of grace. He's come with a message of forgiveness, a message of stability for you and me. And that message has been revealed in the life of Jesus Christ. It's been talked about through the prophetic writings, he says in verse 26. By the command of the eternal God, Christ came into the world. And why did he come? So that all nations might come to believe and obey him. Get back to the question then. How does God make you stable? How does God build a universal church? He does it the same way as he makes you a stable person, a stable church. And that is through making known the good news of Jesus Christ. He's able to establish you by my gospel through the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me ask one question now. What is perhaps the biggest threat to your personal growth? What is the biggest threat, perhaps, the biggest threat to God's church growing? Numerically or growing spiritually? Let me say that I believe one of the biggest threats in our day, and this is that we're too busy. We're too busy to stop and get what we need. We've got a ton of work to do at the office. We've got a million things to do at home. We've got children to raise, don't we? That takes time. We've got soccer games to go to and schoolwork to take care of. And then there's those leaves that are now descending upon us. Someone has to rake those things. And then there's changing the oil every 3,000 miles or buying the new clothing. They do get holes in your elbows and your socks. And then someone has to take out the garbage every Tuesday and Friday. And we've always had 97 more things that have to be done. And they do need to be done. And so we're worn out. There's too much to do. And there's so little time to do it. And so we cut something out. Let me ask you this. What are you cutting out? What is it that you're cutting out? Why are so many people struggling to survive? Why are Christians practically dying on the vine? I believe it's because we neglect the very thing we need the most. We need the good news of Jesus Christ. We need it made known. And we need it made known regularly in our life. And we need to make that message of good news known to others. Because that's the heartbeat of what keeps you stable. That's the heartbeat of the book of Romans. And that is the heartbeat of God building a stable, universal church, making known the good news of Jesus Christ. Someone has said the only way to keep a broken vessel full is by keeping the faucet turned on. C.H. Spurgeon said, a Bible which is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. For the church to grow and for you to become stable and grow, it's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of your personal priorities. If the church is to grow, if you are to grow, you need to hear. And you need to let others hear the good news of Jesus Christ on a regular basis. Now, really, the question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You need to hear regularly the good news of Jesus Christ. The apostle says he is able to establish his church through my gospel, through the proclaiming of Jesus Christ. And now as you make your schedules this week, I ask, really, your stability, your growth, the growth of the church is a matter of hearing the good news of Christ. How badly we need to hear it. The question is, what are we going to do about it? Let us pray. Lord, we're like a patient, like a person in a critical care unit. We need stability. This whole world that lives so far from Eden is so unstable. We ourselves get caught up in it, doing everything. It seems that we find that often we're unstable. Lord, perhaps we have neglected what we need the most. That is to regularly hear the good news of your Son. Lord, forgive us for thinking that really so many other things might need to be done, and really we're neglecting our own growth and our own souls. Lord, help us to be hearers and tellers of that good news, that you might build your church in us and through us, and that our society and our lives may become more stable. We thank you that Christ is what we need. We pray now, Lord, that you would convict us to know exactly what we should do about our part and how we should give attention to hearing of Christ and his grace. Honor this word, we pray, for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. Amen.